Let me pray for our message. Well, thank you as we look at the power of remembrance. It's a very important aspect in the Bible. It's a very important part of our walk with you. Help us to learn and to grow through this message. Lord, increase our discipleship, increase our following. May this message bear fruit, I pray. Amen. So this morning we're looking at Nehemiah and the power of remembrance. And today is Remembrance Sunday. And I try to think to myself, what is Remembrance Sunday all about? And I think we remember the wars and we give thanks that we live in a time of peace. We have to remember those who gave their lives for our freedom. I think we're meant to remember the horrors of war. And we're to pray for peace. We're to seek peace in our world. I think it's a chance as we buy poppies that we remember veterans and their families and we support them. I think it's a time when we remember acts of sacrifice, acts of great character, and we seek to learn from them, to emulate them. There's also things that we see in war that we say, I do not want to emulate that. Last Sunday, John spoke on the fall of Jerusalem from Jeremiah. So he was giving some context to the book of Nehemiah. And I just want to add the following. Because I read all this terrible stuff of Israel and then the fall of Samaria, the fall of Jerusalem. Terrible. And I think it reminds me that the lesson that we're supposed to pick up from it is if we try to follow God by works through the law, we will fail. The end point of trying to approach God by works will be our own siege and judgment and exile from God. And we have to be thankful because that judgment is what we deserve. But Christ has come and taken that judgment and we have Christ's grace. We've been set free from this need to obey the law perfectly. We've been made right by God through faith and not works. And so if you'd like to think of it this way, Jesus was judged, his life was torn down, and he was exiled so that we could come home to God's eternal, indestructible city. That's something we're waiting for. We're told we have an eternal, indestructible home, and one day we will arrive there. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the war, so to speak, that was opposition. And we talked about we are to beware of harassment. We are to pray defensively and offensively against, you know, war and conflict in our world. We're to beware of discouragement coming in all kinds of different ways and work to overcome it. And we are to put on the full armor of God and to stay alert. And I tried to think this week, how do I connect remembering to Nehemiah? And I looked, I went all the way through. You know, it's very easy these days. You get all the Bible passages, you hit Control F, you can find remember. So I looked at all the words remember through Nehemiah. And it was fun. Nehemiah begins in chapter 1, remember your words through Moses. He's saying to God, remember what you said through Moses. He says in 2:14, to the people, remember the Lord who's great and awesome. He says many times, which is interesting. So obviously he's a man of character. He's satisfied that he's done his best. He says, remember my faithfulness, God. He says, God, you remember me for what I've done. He also talks about, remember, God, the undermining of the opposition. He talks about these people who've been opposing him. He says, God, remember them and don't let them off lightly. And he also talks about how at the end they refused to remember God's miracles. I also stumbled across another approach to remembering, and that is called to remember. And that means to put something back together that's been dismembered or fractured. It also means to intentionally reconnect with the people and the influences that have shaped one's identity. And it reminds me of, I don't know whether you've come across kintsugi. It would be nice if we had Jonathan here because his wife's Japanese. But this is the Japanese art where they take a broken pot and they stick it back together with a type of glue that's made of gold. And there's actually a Christian ministry that has a course called kintsugi, and it's where you get together and you talk about the fractured parts of your life and how God puts them back together. And so that's a type of remembering that goes on. And if you think about in Isaiah, there's a lot of, in Isaiah, in Nehemiah, there's a lot of remembering. They're rebuilding the walls. They're putting those walls back together. They're establishing social justice for the poor. There's several sections where they're taking up a kind of electoral roll, and they're trying to figure out the names and the histories of all these different people that have returned. They're trying to figure out their roles and what roles they're going to fit in society. There's also this tremendous work that we've seen in Isaiah to remember, to put back together the law, the festivals, to reestablish giving so that the spiritual life of the nation can function. In a sense, they're rebooting the nation. They're resetting the nation. And it reminds me of my wife. A few years ago, Rikia, she wanted her phone to go faster. So she found a little button in her phone which said reset. And she thought, this is going to make my phone go faster. So she pressed it and it said, are you sure you want to press reset because you're going to delete everything? She's like, yes, I want a faster phone. Boom. She pressed it and she lost something like a billion WhatsApp messages. Disappeared. So in a sense, Nehemiah is rebooting. He's resetting the social, religious, and the political sides of the nation. And that's remembering, putting back together things that are broken. Another word that's like remembering is recording. Recording. We have the book of Nehemiah, so something was recorded. Nehemiah references the recorded words of Moses. They enrolled people, they wrote people, they examined books of genealogies. People's names were written down. In chapter 7, it says they kept financial records. So Richard being a treasurer is not a new thing. They had treasurers way back thousands of years ago. They referenced the book of the law. They referenced Ezra the scribe. Scribes were priests whose job was to make copies of the Old Testament. They say at the end of the book that they are making a covenant with God in writing. And they seal the document. The leaders seal it with their seals. And it's very important, this thing of recording, as we think about remembering, because God has acted in history. And the number one thing I hear about people as they're trying to read the Bible is they're like, I started reading the Bible, got to the end of Genesis, or no, about Genesis 11, I come across those long lists of names, I give up. And we come across these long lists of names, there's long lists of names in Nehemiah. And we think, oh boy. And I just read through them quickly, but the thing that I like to do is I like to say to myself, these lists of names remind me that God has acted in history. These are real people. They're in real places. They're having real experiences with God. And so if you get to these names, it's totally okay. I'm giving you a pass to speed read the names. Go, okay, on we go with the story. So don't get stuck in the names. Just remind yourself that these are real documents about real people in real times, having real experiences with God. But because God has acted in history, it's very important, if he's acted in history, that we need to record events accurately. And it's important that if you record it accurately, that you make accurate copies of it. And so Ezra was a scribe, and he had to make an accurate copy of the word. And I don't know whether you know, but among the scribes, there were certain scribes whose job was to count all the syllables. And they knew that if they got to like 1 million blah, 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 syllable, it should be that one. And they would count it and they got to 1 million, and if it was the right syllable, they would know this is a good copy. And they had ways of just sort of making sure this syllable should be here. And they knew they had a good copy, and so the Old Testament was preserved very accurately. And I love it because we have about 25,000 ancient manuscripts of the New Testament. And the earliest one dates to 25 years after the original. Homer's Iliad is the next most sort of well-documented ancient manuscript. And we have 1,800 manuscripts from Homer's Iliad, but the earliest document is 400 years after the original. And I asked AI, what does this mean? And AI said, the large number of manuscripts for the Bible allows for a very high degree of confidence in the reliability of the text. And so we have a Bible that's very reliable. What has been recorded here is a very reliable remembering of God's work in history. It's very reliable. And because we have so many manuscripts, we can check the differences, and there are differences. There are spelling mistakes, but they can use all of that. It's called textual criticism to come to the understanding of what was the original document. And I have studied under a very, very sort of well-known textual critic, and he says we only have about 12 verses in the New Testament that we're not sure about, and most of them of very little consequence. So we have a very, very accurate document, very reliable. Another related word, and this is, you know, we might go like, this blows my mind, but another related word to remembering is glory. And you're saying, what? Glory? Glorify? How is that related to remembering? In the Old Testament, the word glory means to give weight to something. We give weight to something. In the New Testament, following from the Greek, the word glory means to give light to something. And so if we glorify God in the Old Testament, we're giving weight to God. We're giving weight to someone. We're giving weight to something. In the New Testament, if we glorify God, we're shining the light, so to speak, on God, on someone, on something. And that's like remembering. We're giving weight to the lives of people who fought and died in the wars. In a sense, I don't like the word glorifying because we're not glorifying war, but we're glorifying in a way, giving weight to people who've died. And so we're giving weight to the lives and the deaths of those who have served. We're giving weight, we're not glorifying war, but we're giving weight to the horrors of war. We're saying war is horrible. We do not want war, we want peace. We're giving weight to peace and to peacemaking. We're giving weight to the needs of veterans and to their families. And we're giving weight to the examples of sacrifice and character. And I thought to myself, well, let's look in the Bible. What are some ways that we give weight to things? What are some ways that we remember? And I want to just close with that for a couple of minutes. The first way is we remember God's saving actions. This is kind of past. The Bible is full of remembering God's saving acts. In fact, that is the basic theme of the Bible. We remember all that God has done through history. We remember that he pointed to Jesus. We remember that the prophet said, there's a Messiah coming, and Jesus came. And we're remembering all that has happened. In Psalm 77, we read a part of that. The psalmist is troubled. He's not doing well. So he says, I'm going to remember how God led Israel out of Egypt and through the sea and rescued his people from the Egyptians. The Passover was established. It was called a memorial day, a remembering event, a remembering day. And then we have communion. What does Jesus say? Do this in remembrance of me. I would say in the present, we need to remember that we've been set free by grace. And that's a big message to God, a message of Paul to the Galatians. The Galatians had forgotten the gospel and they were turning back to the law. And Paul says, I want you to remember that you have been called to be free. You've been set free by grace, but don't use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Paul writes to the Corinthians, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you've received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. And a lot of Paul's work was to say to Christians, you've got to remember that you've been saved by grace. Do not go back to the works of the law, trying to, you know, please God by your works. Remember that you've been set free. Use your freedom, Paul says, remember you're free, and use your freedom to glorify God with your mind, with your body, with everything that you've got. We looked at this when we looked at Peter last year. Remember who you are and God's calling. And so Peter reminds them, he says, you are a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You're God's special possession. Why? That you may declare the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And so he's saying to them, remember who you are. Remember what God has called you to do in this world. And it's like the queen. Apparently when she was little, she was getting dressed for an event. And instead of her mum saying, you know, be a good girl, her mum said, remember who you are. Remember who you are. And so we have this new identity that we're called to remember. And Peter says, as we saw last year, we are to live out this identity before our neighbors, society, church, workplace, marriage, family, conflicts, in the way that we share the gospel in hard times, in our leadership, and in our following. He gives a whole long list of ways that we are to shine. We're to remember our identity, and we're to shine as lights in this world. Peter also ends his second letter by saying, remember that Jesus is coming back. That's a very important thing that we're supposed to remember. We've talked about it a lot when I was young. We don't hear about it so much. But Peter says, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I've written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking, to wholesome remembering. I want you to recall the words, that's another one, to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. And I won't read the whole of the chapter, but Peter goes on to explain that the words of the prophets he's talking about in this context is that Jesus, and the words of Jesus is that Jesus is coming back to end history and to judge all men. He reminds us that God is not slow in this promise, but wants all men to come to repentance. And he ends by saying we are to be diligent in faith, holiness, and peace. We are to practice, in a sense, godly flourishing in our world. He says we are to stand against or to stand strong in the face of lawless people and teachings. We need to stay strong, he says, and be ready for Jesus. And he ends this letter by saying, we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I love it because Paul has three things. We say it every week. The Corinthians, they have all of this, you know, conflict, teaching upon teaching. And then at the end, Paul just says, okay, guys, if you can only remember three things, remember this: the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Peter's a more simple guy. He says, all of this stuff that I've written, if you just remember two things, remember God's grace and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Very simple. So if we go from here and remember two things, just remember grace and to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior. I have to admit, we've been on a little bit of a journey. So I've given you lots of, it's kind of a scattered idea of remembering. We are to remember. We're to remember. There's this idea of recording, you know, things were written down so we would keep accurate remembrances. There's this idea that we are to give weight. We are to glorify God. We're to remember him. In a sense, we are to give weight through remembrance to the lives of people who've given their lives for our peace. So some thoughts to leave you with. Something to remember. So we need to remember today those who gave their lives for our freedom. We need to remember today the horrors of war and pray for peace. And we need to remember to seek peace in our world. But more importantly, at the center, we need to remember and give weight. We need to glorify Christ who gave his life for our freedom. And I believe we're called then to join Christ in his work of remembering, putting together all the broken pieces of this world. We are to be peacemakers in its truest sense, not just an absence of conflict, but we are to do everything that we can to bring about human flourishing. And then finally, we are to remember that Jesus is coming back, and we are to make every effort to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Christ. And to him, as Peter says at the end of his letter, and to him be both the glory, the weight now, and until the day of eternity. Amen.